You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
I expect a lot from you this morning. I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios with millions of Americans financing their home of their dreams with the help of Rocket Mortgage. All you have to do is push button, get mortgage. That's where we begin today, the John Kincaid Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Very fun to hear the Mraz and his inaugural edition of the Sean Mraz Show. I'll just call him Mraz. I'm going to keep it that way. Huge fan. Glad to hear him get his opportunity. And I was very entertained. It's the way it works. I would say this. Quality start for Mraz. Not quality start for Zach Greinke. And Zach Greinke, you had teams like sweating over the opportunity to bring Zach Greinke in at the trade deadline. And it just goes to show you that many, many times what the fans want, or what on paper statistically may look like it's the move you want to make, is not necessarily the move that you need. Zach Greinke has, did you watch his press conference the other day before game one? Or before game two, I guess. I mean, before game one, excuse me. Zach Greinke is having his presser with the media. And honestly, and I don't care, because someone's going to say, you know, he has anxiety and doesn't like being in front of the press or something like that. You don't have to be a jerk. You don't have to be a jerk to people doing their jobs. You don't have to make it uncomfortable for other people when you're trying to do your jobs. And his performance in the press conference to me was as embarrassing as it gets. And I don't want to hear about any kind of, he really doesn't like those kind of situations. BS.com. He's in a position where that's why you're paid millions of dollars. That is what you're doing to promote your game. By the way, a game that needs promotion. A game where Fox, and I heard Mraz talking about earlier, a game where Fox knows if we air The Simpsons in prime time on a Sunday night, that's better for us than airing the Yankees and the Astros. And if you don't see that as a major problem for the sport of baseball moving forward, you're not paying attention. I don't appreciate it when guys are purposefully going to make other people who are just doing their jobs, I'm going to make your life miserable. I'm going to do things to just totally, I'm going to show you how condescending I can be and make it so you have a really miserable time trying to do your job, because I don't want to have to do this. Yeah, I know what I'm paid. I know what I get the opportunity to do. The Zach Greinke performance, I played it yesterday for my wife. I played it for my daughter. And I just said, watch this man answer questions. And then, of course, they both did the female compassionate thing and said, well, does he have anxiety? Does he not like being in front of people? I'm like, you know, that was embarrassing. Not as embarrassing as his performance, as the Yankees torch him and the Astros find themselves behind the eight ball. Not as embarrassing as that. But that was bad. That was a bad Saturday night for the Astros. Would I worry if I'm the Astros? No. Because of the fact that I know I've got Verlander going in game two. If he does his usual and can come out and even that series, then you're going back to Gerrit Cole in game three at Yankee Stadium. I'd feel very, very good about that. So you could be up 2-1. Mraz made the point earlier, and I thought it was a good one. If you're the Yankees, just splitting in Houston doesn't mean as much as you think when you know the next two that are coming up in that Houston rotation. Now, for the St. Louis Cardinals, again, this is now I'm a Phillies fan, but I live in Atlanta. And we come out of 680 The Fan in Atlanta. And I can tell you it is interesting to watch that the St. Louis Cardinals are going to be the team that is going to contrive drama. That is exactly what they're going to try to do to motivate themselves. I always wonder about people who need to motivate themselves with like fake contrived situations. And what we've learned during the postseason is everything pisses off the St. Louis Cardinals. They believe that they wrote the baseball book. They believe everything should be done by the way that the St. Louis Cardinals believe it should be done. And if any player is too flamboyant, enjoys the game too much, spends a little too much time in the batter's box or whatever, they're going to be pissed about it. And that's their MO. Well, contrived drama will only take you so far. And four hits through two games in the NLCS that they lose at home puts them very much behind the eight ball, the Washington Nationals, a team that we watched from July. Honestly, they probably were the best team in baseball from 4th of July. They were the team from the 4th of July that really showed, hey, we could be the team to beat here. And not only do they knock off the Dodgers, which not a lot of people saw happening at all, and that game five the other night was absolutely spectacular, but now the Nationals go home up two games to none. And look, it's been a little entertaining. If you're not watching, Major League Baseball executives got to be a little bit concerned because these numbers aren't riveting. We always know, look, football is the straw that stirs the drink for the American sports fan. We get it. It's football. But the numbers are sort of staggering as far as people aren't. They're just not intrigued by October baseball anymore. They're not intrigued in the same way they once were before. Now, if you're a Yankee fan, if you're an Astro fan, if you're a Cardinals fan, whatever, of course you're intrigued. Of course you're excited. Nats fans are going nuts. But for the rest of the country, you need the rest of the country to be engaged. And right now, it's just not doing it. You could use the Cardinals to get back in that series, create some drama. Real drama, not contrived drama. That would help. Well, the day in college football, and of course we have, there's a lot of people around the country, and it seems as if, who don't understand college football. And I'm not talking about touchdown 6 points, extra points are worth one, you can go for two. I'm not talking about basic rules of the game. First and 10, you got four chances to get 10 yards. I'm not talking about the rules. I'm talking about how college football works. Because what we do is we make grand statements based on one game. And I will tell you this. I've seen the Kirby Smart administration at Georgia and what he's done. And yesterday is the most atrocious thing that is on his Georgia resume. Because he has an incredibly talented team. In fact, pretty much better at every single position than South Carolina. A roster where his team is better every stinking way you look. And Kirby Smart has not dialed up many clunkers in his tenure with the Georgia Bulldogs. He has done an amazing job. But one of the reasons that Kirby Smart was brought in is because Mark Richt's teams at the University of Georgia would be very, very talented. They would out-talent teams, maybe 10 out of the 12 games on their regular season schedule every single year they could count on. We're going to be the more talented team. And that's the difference in college football and the NFL. And you wonder why in the NFL the average point spread for a game this year has been around 5. And in college football in the top 25 a few weeks ago, the average point spread was like 20. It's because the one team is going to be more talented than the other, which in the NFL, it's not. When you're that much more talented, you're not expect. When you're a 3-touchdown favorite plus, which Georgia was yesterday, you're not expected to lose at home to a South Carolina. But what do I get afterwards? And believe me, anybody who was saying that was atrocious, that was terrible, and I got to tell you, between Kirby Smart and Will Muschamp, that was a coaching clinic of things not to do during a game, of bad decisions during a game. And there have been some times that Kirby Smart's been questioned for in-game coaching, decision-making. And there's no defending it. The only person who's going to defend some of the decisions he made yesterday is an absolute Georgia homer. they're the only ones that would defend it. Because that was horrendous yesterday. Decision-making was atrocious. But you get the message of, well, Georgia's done. They lost. I'm like, I said, have people not watched college football? Here's the math for you. If Georgia does manage to go 11-1 and get to the SEC championship game, and they win said SEC championship game and go 12-1, they're in the college football playoff, and it's not, there's no question about it. There's no discussion. There's no debate. There's no wondering whether that would happen. The SEC championship game winner, the person who goes, as long as it is a one-loss team, 12-1 SEC champion, is not being left out of the college football playoff for anybody. There's nobody who's going to be beating them out. If they're a 12-1 SEC champion, they're going to the college football playoff. Now, getting to 12-1 after you saw yesterday's performance would be a really, really nice trick. Now, Kirby Smart might be able to do it. But, folks, there's going to be a series of elimination games. Ohio State and Wisconsin, one of them is going to give each other a loss. Alabama and LSU, one of them is going to give each other a loss. Florida and Georgia can sort of balance each other out and eliminate each other coming up. If Georgia goes to a second loss, they're as good as eliminated. If that happens. But the assumption is, well, Georgia's out. Now who moves up? I saw people yesterday speculating, well, two Big Ten teams can get into the college football playoff. Okay, I'm so glad I have that screen protector that like keeps the glass from breaking, because I just had to laugh so loudly that was going to happen. Because people love dancing on other programs' graves. The problem is, you have to remember, it's not one loss that eliminates you. It's two. It's when Ohio State wets the bed at home against Virginia Tech a few years back. They still had plenty of time to recover to get back into the college football playoff. One loss is not going to eliminate you. Two losses will. And if you're a one-loss power conference champion that's not the Pac-12, you are almost 100% going to the college football playoff. I'm looking at the roads that Oklahoma have now, that they got past Texas. Now they may have to get past them again. But Oklahoma and Clemson have two sort of what appears to be clear paths to the college football playoff. I don't know, with Ohio State and Wisconsin, we'll figure out what they end up doing. But Georgia fans feel like garbage today. But you know, it's the second loss that kills you. It's not the first. It's like Michael Myers in one of those Halloween movies. When he gets stabbed in the chest, that's not what's going to kill him. You know, when he's laying there with the butcher knife out of his chest, you know he's getting up. You've only been in the theater for an hour and 5 minutes. You know this movie goes another half hour. They're not doing like Jamie Lee Curtis nude scenes to try to keep you in your seat. Not that that necessarily would.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.